Hang on, trying to put away this shoe polish here before it makes me stoned in the studio. Just polishing my shoes, but it's too small a room to be doing that without a window cracked. It's Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett, and the search for superheroes goes on in my mind all the time. I'm a subscriber of the duality theory that for every superhero, there must be a supervillain. We've seen that played out in movies. We'll talk more about that coming up in just a second. And next hour with our guest, Gautam Chopra, who is the son of Deepak Chopra and the co-author of the new book, Spiritual Laws of Superheroes, The Seven Spiritual Laws of Superheroes. Even the significance of seven will come up next hour, too. But you're going to love this book. You're going to love this conversation. Deepak Chopra will join us toward the end of the show tonight. We'll do open lines coming up this hour on Coast to Coast. And I'll tell you about my search for superheroes and supervillains and what we can see in the news tonight before we get started with your open line calls next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. We'll go to open line calls coming up in just a minute on Coast to Coast, and hope you had a great week and that it's a quiet night wherever you are. No more tornadoes tonight, or at least if tornadoes are coming, that they don't involve the terrible loss of life that lately that we've been seeing. And there has been some other interesting news developments on the previous stories that we talked about. The indictment of John Edwards. That was a while in coming. And now, of course, this other story involving a politician. I've been so curious about it. I've been boning up on the skills that they say we have inherent in all of us to judge the body language of people in the news. And I've been trying to decipher exactly what the eye movements, the head movements, the language, the body positions of Anthony Weiner, the congressman from New York. And I, from what I can tell, this guy's just got, he's got deception written all over him. He's hiding something. He's attempting to deceive us from something, whether it's the same thing we think it is, I don't know. But definitely worth taking a look at, again, those signs when somebody is lying, as we've had previous guests talk about before on Coast to Coast. And we've touched on the subject of superheroes a bit on this show. I'd love to get M. Night Shyamalan on the show sometime. He's the guy who wrote and directed and produced movies like The Sixth Sense, Unbreakable, Signs. I love Signs. Mel Gibson problems or not. And to lesser degree, the Village or The Happening. I never saw The Last Airbender or Lady in the Water. But, you know, he always has movies that kind of interesting themes. The movie Unbreakable is this movie that explores the duality of the for every superhero, there must be a super villain theory. That comes up in the book, The Seven Spiritual Laws of Superheroes, which we'll get to coming up next hour with Gautam Chopra and then Deepak Chopra later on in the show. That necessity is something which I look for all the time in the news. I'll be totally honest. I'm always going through the news and seeing what I think might be signs that there are, in fact, superheroes at work, or at least could be. For example, I saw the movie X-Men First Class today. We'll talk more about that next hour, too. By the way, pretty good little movie. You know, it's not Shakespeare, but it was a good movie. I thought it was a really nice setup with some fun cameos. And if you know anything about the X-Men characters, I think they did a pretty decent job with that. And you'll it's just opening up this weekend. I think it's going to do pretty well this summer. But that idea that somehow that there are superheroes amongst us that have yet to either be fully developed to be able to recognize their own ability or to be able to put together their master plan for either helping or hurting the human race. That's just something that kind of always plays in the back of my mind when I see stories like that one out of Philadelphia, speaking of M. Night Shyamalan. That headline, perhaps you saw it, about rabid beavers rampaging through Philadelphia. There are I didn't even know there were any kind of beavers in Philadelphia, but they're not only that, but they have the rabid kind, so be on the lookout for that. Already one child already bitten by a rabid beaver, and they know that there are more. Or that story that we linked up at coasttocoastam.com tonight, bug beings and mantis men. There's more to that. You have to read it to understand what I'm talking about. But bug beings and mantis men already. So are they superheroes or supervillains? Do we have one of each? How about the DNA computer that calculates square roots? That's researchers have shown off a DNA computer of unprecedented complexity, which can calculate square roots. Cool. How about the world's first solar power station that can generate electricity at night? So it'd be sort of a lunar power station, I guess, right? Or this story, scientists create artificial brain with memory. Oh, that sounds like the beginning of some sort of superhero movie. Scientists have created an artificial brain made from rat nerve cells that exhibits 12 seconds of short-term memory, which is about 10 more seconds than my wife has these days. So we don't know what it is, but for whatever reason, she can't remember anything. It's been happening a lot lately. If she were here, she would agree with me on that, I think. Or the best news is in 10 seconds, she would forget I said it. Either way, I'm covered. Okay, so we'll get to open lines are coming up, but go take a look at it and do that test yourself sometime. Go through the news and look for clues that there are superheroes or supervillains at work. And we'll get back to that coming up next hour with the 7 spiritual laws of superheroes. And next week, a book that I'm reading right now, I'm going to take a couple days of vacation this week and finish Render Unto Rome. It's the new book by Jesse Barry, The Secret Life of Money in the Catholic Church. It is all about the nefarious Vatican banking concepts, the way in which even the system is devised, even the very philosophy which they use that makes them ripe for abuse. But we'll get back to that next week on Coast to Coast. In the meantime, let's go ahead and get Patrick. West of the Rockies on Coast to Coast. And let's get good morning. Not good morning, but hey, Patrick.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, this isn't Patrick. This is East of the Rockies, hon.
Oh, well, it says here West and okay. Well, we'll just go with you. So who is this then?
Okay. My name's Shelley.
Hi, Shelley. How are you?
Hi. Well, I've been kind of upset the last couple of days.
How's that?
Well, I don't know. I thought it was a possibility that maybe talking to you might help. George had someone on the other night, and I don't know, he was a doctor, and he was somebody that apparently took the ideas from the Sitchin and went on with it. And, you know, usually stuff like that just doesn't bother me too much.
What did he say that bothered you?
Oh, boy. Well, you're talking about superheroes and the church and all that. And I thought, boy, what an intro to what. Okay, I'm going to tell you. This guy is claiming that Jesus is actually part of the Anunnaki. And when he comes back, he's going to rule the world as the leader of the one world government with an iron fist. And, you know, it's crazy, but when the callers called in, hardly anybody, I mean, George says, I got to warn you, people are going to go after you. And he goes, oh, they probably will. And they didn't. I mean, I wish I could have gotten through. Cause
okay, well, what would you want to have said to him?
Well, for one thing, I would have said, this Sitchin studied these tablets that ended at a certain point. Now, where in the world do you get your information on Jesus?
Well, okay, but what if he's just wrong?
Yeah, well, it's a possibility. I mean, he about 5 different times when George was talking to him, he'd say, "I can't hear you." I mean, he.
Well, so he's just wrong. There's lots of people. Well, hang on. There's lots of people that come on the show that are just wrong. I mean, they say things. They propose an idea. You can pick it up. You can put it down. You can look at it from underneath to see made in China. You could look at it. You throw it against the wall, see if it sticks. I mean, do anything you want with it, and then afterward decide. No, I don't agree with that.
Okay. I know what you're saying there, but for some reason, this has really stuck with me, and it has really been bothering me lately.
Do you think it could be true, then?
I don't know. I've been going through kind of a crisis of faith, which a lot of people have been. And, you know, I mean, even a woman on the program had said, "Jesus seems like Jesus is hiding right now." And I know it seemed like a lot of times when I try to pray to Jesus, it seems like there's a frosty pain and I can't see him. I don't know. I mean, this is a weird time we're living through.
Well, it may be about, I just so you know, I don't experience that in my prayers. I don't. So it could be something which is a fair reflection back on maybe your thoughts are.
Well, go ahead. Why don't you let me tell you, he says this Anunnaki is actually the fallen angels.
That's fine.
I mean, this guy was pretty bad. But
I wasn't listening to the show, so I feel like I can't comment on what he said or whether he's right or is wrong, or because I didn't hear it. All I was coming on was your reaction to it, and so you say you were upset by it. It's been bothering you, and I would say release yourself from that, unless secretly what he's saying bothers you because you think that it might be true, in which case explore that and don't be mad at it, but just kind of if you feel like it's talking to you, find out what it has to say. And maybe that's our greatest challenge all the time, is that people will hear something and their reaction is to get mad that you said it, because it's something about it is resonating with inside of them, and they don't want to explore where that's going to take them. So that's my challenge to you, is if it's bothering you, then lean into what you're resisting and find out what's there. We've got Josh on a first-time caller line on Coast to Coast. Josh?
Hey, Ian. How's it going? Faithful, long-time listener, first-time caller here.
Glad to have you, and go ahead.
You know, just calling in because today I was actually driving west on Route 66 here. And, you know, I've been living in Rancho Cucamonga for the last 20-odd years here. But when I looked up at the sky, I kind of noticed that half of the sky was blacked out by what seemed to look like a large chemtrail of some sort. But, I mean, completely like two-thirds of the sunset sky was completely blacked out. There is the sunset protruding from the top of the actual chemtrail wall. So it was just quite bizarre. Just wondering if anybody out there has kind of experienced the same thing here.
All right, go ahead.
I sent in a couple of pictures to your guys' submission email, so hopefully you guys get those. But, interesting stuff.
Well, let's see whether anybody else picks up on what they saw there along Route 66. Maybe they saw something else, in which case, too, we'll also pass that along to whoever's doing the website tonight. I don't know who. Is it Sean? And see whether or not they got the photos and they could put that up. Let's go to, Jim, who's in Idaho on a wild card line on Coast to Coast.
Hey, Ian. I got a comment about a UFO I saw, but first, I'll make a quick one about the lady who just called in. If you've got trouble, and this is from the Catholic perspective, if you've got trouble, just go sit in the church just quietly and let God speak to you. Let him sort out your problems, because you're not going to be able to do it on your own. It's too much. Anyway, I've never seen a UFO. I've listened to this show for probably 15 or 17 years.
Yep.
And I saw my first one tonight. I'm a truck driver. I'm in Idaho. I was just driving past, what's the name of the Air Force Base? Mountain Home Air Force Base on 84. Okay.
Right.
I pulled into a rest area here. There's probably 15 or 20 other truck drivers. And they're standing out in a group. So I park my truck and I go walking over there, see what's up. And the one guy points way to the north, and it looked like little gumballs like jumping up and down like they're in a popcorn machine. Now, one thing I'm going to tell you, I've never heard anybody describe seeing this kind of UFO before. Okay. We're watching it, and just all the one was like a reddish orange, one was like a yellow red, and one was like a green kind of shimmering blue kind of thing. Anyway, we're standing there, and the blue greeny one comes straight over us, between 50 and 100 feet over our heads, just wham. I mean, I don't even know how fast it was. It wasn't making any sound at all, but behind it, like in a kind of a trail thing, you know, the like pixie dust kind of stuff, but it was just light, and it was like shimmering as it went over our head, and then the thing was gone. I've never heard of anything like this before, but I mean, it definitely wasn't an aircraft, because it was moving entirely too fast.
You know, I think that's really interesting, and there are right around mountain ranges in Washington. I've seen a lot of the videos that are actually close to what you're talking about. So there's precedence for this around the Cascade Mountains.
How do I get in touch with MUFON to report this? Because I went to their website. There's not a phone number or anything. All I got is my cell phone.
There won't be a phone number. It depends what your local MUFON people want you to do. Because
Should I report it in the local place where I was at? I'm from Georgia.
I would.
I'm from Atlanta.
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, Atlanta, you find there's a very strong, Georgia has a very strong local MUFON representative.
But
or
I mean,
at least
don't
they used
the
to.
People from this area need to know the information because it happened around here?
That's the beautiful thing about that network. They'll get in touch with each other. Don't worry. But if you want, you could either, if you can find one locally, that's great. But whether you just shoot an email using if you've got a smartphone, or if you want to wait till you get back to Georgia, there's a great organization there, and you can go from there. But very interesting and completely consistent with the other stories from people I've heard, particularly around like the Mount Adams, Washington area. Maybe that's where Patrick is, near west of the Rockies on coast to coast. Is this Patrick?
This is.
Okay, go ahead, Patrick.
Yeah, hey, I hear we're going to be talking about superheroes tonight.
Yep.
And so Ronald Reagan called the Soviet Union the evil empire.
Right.
And in current events today, like in Syria, are we going to need a superhero?
Yeah, you're saying, do we need to create a superhero in order for us to be able to kind of coalesce around the excess of good against the excess of evil, that kind of thing?
Or what's currently happening in the Middle East, in Tunisia, you know, Egypt? Do we in America need a superhero to protect us or to come to our enlightenment?
Superman, where are you now? Yeah, I think we often feel that way. It's always, when haven't we needed a superhero to sort things out? It's hard to name a time in history. But, you know, to your point about Ronald Reagan and the Soviet Union, of course, they became our friends. And that is not unlike, I mean, at least to a limited sense, maybe sometimes better than others. But that's not unlike the story of superheroes as we read them in the, you know, in the pantheon of the superhero / gods of DC and Marvel and any other different place, including some of the ancient stories from India, which is also something that Deepak Chopra and his son Gautam Chopra pull on for this new book. That's kind of, I'm always sort of interested when super villains become superheroes for a while and then cross back over again. When can you know? When can you trust him? Steve's on a wild card line in Atlanta, Georgia, on Coast to Coast. Steve?
Hey, Ian.
Hey.
Great talking with you again. Hey, look, ironically, as you're talking about superheroes tonight, I'm up again drawing the latest issue of Batman here in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yay! Cool. Very cool.
I always listen to Coast to Coast at night. I really thoroughly enjoy your show. And anyway, I got a question for you. It's something that I had to bail out on the convention this weekend because, again, my schedule on Batman, I just wouldn't have been fair to the publishing deadlines, and you know how deadlines can be. Anyway, one of the questions I'm always asking, I'm just curious about what you would actually say to this, superhero related. Always asked by the fans, you know, if you had any superpower, what would it be? Now, my answer has always been time travel. I mean, I've got many reasons for that. But what would yours be, Ian?
I tell you what I'm going to do. I know you've got Batman to write. I'm going to ask you to hang on. Okay, well, I'm just saying. I know you've got work to do on that. I want you to hang on, and I'm going to come back after because I'll answer that question, and then I want you to riddle me one yourself. So I'm going to put you on hold for a moment. Okay. So hang on. We'll talk with Steve, who's up drawing the next Batman. But first, Steve, let me get this in, and then we'll come back. I'll give you an answer, and I've got a question for you too. And then we'll get to the rest of open lines. It'll take us to the top of the hour until we get to the 7 spiritual laws of superheroes and why you could be one too, coming up on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. Okay, so we're just talking with Steve just before the bottom of the hour. We'll get back to him coming up in just a moment. And I want to ask him a question about Batman. Well, actually, just kind of a general question about the superheroes. He's up drawing Batman tonight, so he can draw on that if you want to, coming up just a moment. And we'll get one or two more open lines before the top of the hour, and then we'll talk about superheroes with Deepak Chopra and Gotham Chopra. Yeah, that's no coincidence. Coming up next hour on Coast to Coast, this is Ian Punnett. Now, I was just asking the producers to make sure we could do something, which we don't always do, which is to give away a caller's last name. So, Jesse, I'll ask you to pull up Steve Scott here. We were just talking to him before the bottom of the hour break. And Steve is very well known as somebody who's worked with X-Men, right? I mean, you've done a lot of X-Men, haven't you, Steve?
Yeah, I've drawn X-Men forever. I've worked with Chris Claremont, who is the writer of that series. I've been in comics since 1994. I've done a little bit of every character out there.
Right, and you've done Green Lantern. Did you do some Green Lantern?
Yeah, I did a project just last year for Consolidated Edison. It was a creative services project, Green Lantern. I've done some work on the TV show Smallville. There was Justice and Doom in season 6. I was an animator for 2 of the episodes of that. And keeping busy with the current series of Batman right now.
Yeah, which is awesome. But I was actually going to ask you, have you seen the trailers for the new Green Lantern?
I certainly have. I have.
Are you thinking it's going to be good?
You know, I'm hoping it is. I'm a big Green Lantern fan. You know, I mean, when I was a kid growing up on the DC end of comics, Batman and Green Lantern were my favorite too. Green Lantern, because even he had the power to just create anything out of his imagination.
Right.
So I'm a big Green Lantern fan. There's some people have problems with the costumes looking so computer generated, but then I always tell them, and I think in terms of this, you know, and I have to overanalyze things as I'm drawing. I have to think, okay, how do things work?
Right.
The ring generates light energy. So the costume that has always been created for Hal has been one created from his ring that's been light energy. So even though it looks odd to us, it would make sense. What do you think?
Well, I've actually always had this sort of I've never been able. I love the idea of loving Green Lantern. I'll put it that way. I like everything about Green Lantern except Green Lantern, and I don't know why that is. And I'm excited about the movie because I'm hoping this will finally be my breakthrough where I feel as connected to the character as so many of my other friends have. But I love the mythology of it. I love the, you know, I love the slogan. I love everything about Green Lantern. But I was curious about that because I've been hearing a lot of pushback about the trailers. And I'm pretty geeked about Captain America coming up, too.
Extremely geeked about that. I love 1940s genre, and it starts him off right where he was supposed to start off. So I'm excited.
Right. Oh, totally. I enjoyed Thor quite a bit when it came out a couple of weeks ago. I thought that was really enjoyable. So anyway, I'll answer your question about superhero power because my 17-year-old and I get into this conversation all the time. And I believe, as I'm sure you have learned too, that if you name somebody's preferred superpower, you're naming something about themselves. So that's something about them that they wish that they could be either be able to amplify or something which they dream for as part of their shadow self. So late, I always give these sort of snarky answers to that question, but lately, for whatever reason, I was actually really thinking how cool it would be to be Aquaman. And I, there's something about the that continuity. Yeah, there's a good old DC, you know, character you don't hear spoken of highly enough. But I mean, I love that idea that he was so connected to the environment. And I was thinking about Aquaman during after the BP oil spill. I was thinking I would be really cool if we had Aquaman clean that up. You know what I mean?
That would make sense. You know, and you got to think about the percentage of the world is covered with oceans and seas. I mean, you know, he actually rules a majority of the earth in that respect.
Yep. So I just like that he had a realm. He had a realm. And outside of that realm, it was kind of worthless. But, I mean, in that realm, he was king, and I thought that was cool. All right, now here's my question to you.
The power that you would want then as a superhero would be the power to breathe underwater and command all the sea life.
Right, and to commune with the sea life. So not just command them, but to be able to be to work with them together and be able to, they would be like my brothers and sisters. There's something about that that I always love. So, all right. So there's the answer there. Again, we're just, Steve Scott is, who writes and draws for Batman. Are you the only guy drawing Batman these days?
No, you know, they've got several different artists working on Batman, and they're about to relaunch the entire DC line. And I'm pretty much going to be drawing the last Batman issue of Batman 713, before they relaunch all of the DC line, starting with issue one.
Okay,
so that's... the series started in the 1940s of Batman. I'm drawing the last issue of it.
Okay, I tell you what I'm going to do. When I put you on hold, if it's all right. If they could get your number, let's have you back on when that launches. Want to do that?
That sounds fantastic. Sure.
Okay. All right. Then I'll put you on hold when we're done here. And Jesse, just make sure we grab Steve's number before he goes so we can pass it along to the producers. So here's my question to you, and then we'll get back to the rest of Open Lines. What would be, if you had to choose a fatal flaw, because superheroes all have flaws, or at least something that makes them vulnerable, what would yours be?
Oh, man, what would be my fatal flaw?
Yeah, that's not a question that's asked enough, I don't think. I think it's just as revealing as the superpower.
Oh, you know.
Because I think, in a way, Superman's fatal flaw is kind of boring. I think kryptonite is kind of a boring fatal flaw. I think that's one of the reasons why he's not as popular a superhero today.
I agree with you. It's such a lame fatal flaw. I gotta agree with you. You know, and Spider-Man, you know, well, not the movie Spider-Man, but the comic book Spider-Man could run out of web fluid, you know, things like that.
Right.
You know.
Right. What would be your fatal flaw of choice?
Emotion, probably. I mean, you know, if you're a superhero, you know, you're going to have that flaw of not being able to get out of the idea of emotion set into your decision making. In other words, bank robbers are taking off. Kid has just been thrown from a building. I will go for that kid and save the kid. I mean,
right.
Does that make sense?
Sure. You're talking about empathy would be like a fatal flaw.
Right. Empathy would be the only one I can actually think of at the moment. Yeah. I don't have the liberty of putting me on hold and waiting until I can figure out an idea for an answer.
Steve, let's be clear. I have this conversation all the time. I have this conversation with my kid all the time. I've always got an answer because
let me tell you real quickly for me on time travel why that would be my superpower I would really like. A lot of the subject matter on this show. You know, I mean, I would give anything to be able to travel time and see what happened with the Sumerians, you know, are the Anunnaki real? Who built the pyramids? I mean, can you imagine being able to have that as your power to go back in time and see things happen as they occurred?
I think it would be awesome. I mean, I would love to. Who wouldn't want to be on the road to Damascus or be the hill at Golgotha or something and actually see how things happen? But then again,
worth $1 billion to anyone that
right.
Coast to coast.
Okay, but now here I'll give you what I would suggest would be an interesting fatal flaw to hold in tension with that superpower. and that would be the inability to let go of the past.
Oh, very good.
So you got your superpower, but you can't. That would be an interesting way to hold that intention with that, is that you can't let go of the past. So you'd never be able to explore the future because you couldn't let go of the past.
Yeah, you're just going to have to get back in touch with me. You're going to have to write some comics, and I'll have to draw your comics for you.
Okay,
man.
That sounds...
You've already got some good ideas.
Oh, I do this all day long. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate that. God bless you. Have a great night.
I really enjoyed that.
Appreciate that.
Thank you,
Jesse, go ahead and wrap him up so that we can get that number for him before... He goes, but way fun. All right, and then, Jesse, I'm going to ask you if you bring up the caller here because for whatever reason, my system's not responding the way I like it to. So let me grab Jack, Jesse, on the wild card line in Michigan on Coast to Coast. Jack?
There you go.
Hey. Open lines.
Yeah, great. Fantastic.
Thank you.
Speaking of superheroes, you know, Coast has, I think, a roster of real-life superheroes. And I'm calling the audience's attention to that fact because what I think your audience would like to see, or sorry, hear a couple times each month is a forum or summit for the monetary economic travail as well as the energy supposed ballot crisis we're facing, even though from various guests, including Lindsey Williams, were wallowing in crude oil, such as on Gull Island off Alaska's North Slope. And even Bob Brinker, who's a financial advisor that I hear every now and then on the weekend, had a guest on about a month ago who was talking about natural gas and 40 cents a gallon for natural gas. But according to Lindsey Williams, there's 77, I believe, jet engines pumping natural gas back into the ground along the Alaska pipeline. And so what I'd like to see, speaking of superheroes, would be the likes of Andy Gauss, Steve Quayle, Sean David Morton, and anyone else, maybe even Bob Chapman. I don't know if you've ever heard of Bob Chapman, but to constitute an economic monetary summit to focus upon the solutions, and then an energy summit.
Wouldn't that be nice? Well, I'd take anybody getting together and coming up with solutions, we got to all be for. So your suggestions have been noted in an interesting collection of people as part of that sort of economic justice league. So thank you, Jack. And let's try and get as many as we can in before the top of the hour. We have Dave in Allentown on Coast to Coast AM on a wild card line. Dave, go ahead.
Hello, Ian. Hey. I'm sitting here listening to the callers, and I kind of have a topic to ask you about your opinion that would it would take both topics together. As superhero designers in America since the 30s and maybe even 20s, there's a large percentage of them that are from Jewish families, Jewish
right.
Americans.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Spider-Man and I believe Batman and some of the others were created
with,
by artists
Superman.
Still alive.
Superman right. was, I mean, the character names in Superman are actually from Hebrew. So, yes, I'm all about that.
Right. So, I wonder why so many times that there's been people on the show that espouse a vision of the world that would be without Jews as our lapsed Catholics who believe that the Vatican II never took place and are denying the Holocaust. You know, they would want every Jew to be murdered in the world. And the guest that's going to be on tomorrow, I don't know if I'll get through or not. I'm going to ask the same question.
Which guest are you referring to?
Brother Michael Diamond, who I did some research on, and I found out he's one of those Catholics like Mel Gibson who doesn't believe the Holocaust happened, that Jews, you know, are bad. And Mel Gibson carries blood of Anne Emmerich around his neck. She was a nun. She was psychotic, and she saw visions of Jews drinking the blood of Christian children to put in their Passover Thanks. Bread. She saw it in a vision in one of her, you know, demonic visions, and that's part of the church. That's part of this church that Mel Gibson follows. He puts scenes in his film based on that that weren't in the Bible, weren't in the New Testament. And as a result, people around the world, such as Hitler, who saw, you know, the Passion play several times based on this nun, her visions, you know, he said, this is why we have to rid the world of the Jews. And it was all artificial bullshit, to be honest.
Okay, wait, I can't use that word. I can't. Jesse, I hope you got to bleep that. Okay, so Dave, I'll say you kind of working yourself up there a little bit that you say that, but I don't know enough about what the guest is going to say tomorrow night. I think what you're suggesting would be a fair question. All I can do is Google the name, as you mentioned, Brother Michael DeMond. I did not know that he's coming up tomorrow night. And I am always bothered by anti-Semitism. As a theme on this show, I think actually it's something which we have contained. We condemn. We have never been a forum for anti-Semitism. I challenge it whenever it comes up, and I challenge it like I would anti-Catholicism, or even, you know, coming up next week when we're going to be talking with Jason Berry, Render Unto Rome, The Secret Life of Money in the Catholic Church. It's one thing to talk about something like money. It's another thing for people to get prejudicial about it, which is an entirely different thing. So I think we should all be on our toes for that all the time. It's not part of the Coast to Coast philosophy. It's never been a fit on the show. So I don't accept the premise that it happens a lot. I hope it happens never, but when it does, I hope it gets pointed out. As to tomorrow night, I think that may be the great challenge then, to be vigilant for and to stand against anything that he might say. And I agree with you on a lot of the people that are anti the reforms of Vatican II, which are the norms of the church. People who are anti Vatican II tend to be anti-Semitic. I've seen that time and time again. I see it. It doesn't mean that it's always true, but it pops up a lot. And Mel Gibson's dad, those are good examples. Mel Gibson's dad in particular, Holocaust denier. Jesse, I'm going to ask you, who's on the Alberta? Okay, let's get Wade on Wild 2 from Alberta, Canada, on Coast to Coast. Wade?
Hi, Ian.
Hey.
Hey, about those beavers.
But the rabid beaver of Philadelphia.
Yeah. How the heck do they get rabies? They live in the water.
Yeah.
Are they going to get bitten by a rabid fish?
Well, you know how rabies works. You can get rabies. So, but it's spontaneous. It happens in nature.
But they eat bark. So they're not going around chasing each other around and one giving rabies to another.
Could have been bitten by a rabid dog or a fox.
That's true.
Yeah, I got plenty of fox. We had a rabid fox in my neighborhood not too long ago, actually. You had a quick comment before the top of the hour?
Yeah, we got lots of healthy beavers. We can send them some.
Okay. I bet you do in Canada. Sure.
We do.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Let me get to... Alicia in, let's see, Canby, Oregon, on Coast to Coast. Is it Alisa? Did I get that right? Or Alicia? Hi, Alisa.
Hi, Alisa. How are you? How are you doing tonight?
Doing so well. Go ahead. Where are you going to take us?
Be kind of curious to see what Steve comes up with. I was wondering, I think this, you know, how George has spoken of, as well as had guests that say that if you go outside at night with some good quality military issued or night vision binoculars that and you can actually see in real life right through the clouds above us, the Star Wars going on, and different alien craft just right overhead. Do you think that perhaps the chemtrails might be a sort of blanketing effect or... were down here, you know, under the remains of the clouds to be ignorant of it? Or do you know any official, like, websites where you can actually go and view these things in real lifetime?
Well, there are a couple of different theories about that. By the way, I have night vision glasses. I got them many years ago, and I do look up. I don't see that. I have yet to see this ongoing Star Wars battle. I do see birds, however. And there are lots of things that you can't see with the naked eye, which you can see with night vision, that are swooping and chasing after each other. I get a lot of starlings, a lot of things. You can't see them, really, unless you've got the night vision glass, and suddenly, boom, they pop. So I'll say that. I'm not your best conversation partner on chemtrails, especially if something were up that high. Even the chemtrail theory would suggest that there'd just be too much drift in the atmosphere to make that viable. But as to your primary question, which is there a website? Oh, yeah, there are websites. So, that won't be hard for you to start Googling around and finding a website that will take you to either pictures of still pictures or videos of these battles in the sky. And maybe that's a good place to leave it for the moment and get back with Gautam Chopra, who's the co-author of The Seven Spiritual Laws of Superheroes, Harnessing Our Power to Change the World. It's a very interesting book, and it's a fun book. Deepak Chopra will also be joining us coming up later on in the night talking about it, but we get started next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett.